Blog Talk Radio.
Root Cause Radio, sharing the secrets of optimal health. Root Cause Radio, sharing the secrets of optimal health.
The collard green recipe is fantastic, and it calls for uncured turkey bacon. And I have never cooked collards for quite that long. I didn't know that it's good to cook greens for a long time because it breaks the molecular bonds, and the food, the oxalates become more digestible. And the recipe has you to cook the greens for about an hour and a quarter. And my family loves the greens.
Once the diseases are cured at the cellular level, we are able to prevent new diseases from occurring.
This message is for those people out there that they need hope and they need a resolution for their sickness. Symptometry is the solution.
Yes, this is a total health system. I have trained under other people, and they only gave me partial answers.
My family tends to suffer with plaque buildup on our teeth, and we have to go in regularly to fight off gingivitis. And it doesn't matter how much you floss, it seems it just doesn't help. But just by using the yogurt blend, when I just went into my doctor's visit, my dental visit last week, she was amazed by the results. I mean, it was great. The plaque buildup was just minimized significantly.
Once we have prevented new diseases from occurring, then mankind will have a chance to live in a disease-free body. This is what we all want. We all want to live in a disease-free body so that we will be happy all the time.
Go deep at the root cause of your sickness, of your disease. And Dr. Naughty is an awesome man.
My name is Michelle Mitchell, and I just love being here for Symptometry. I got to actually meet Dr. Naughty, and just learning all the information that we learned today was really fulfilling, and I am definitely going to work towards becoming a student.
So I would encourage anyone who would like to learn how to learn about solutions and not just live in a situation to come. Called Symptometry. Come to a symposium, and guess what? You can be like I am, more enlightened, because the more I learn how to do that will support me, the better off I will become.
This was a very awakening moment. We're just enjoying ourselves and feel very enlightened by all the information that we received, and I'm looking forward to purchasing a few of the books so I can continue on the Symptometry path.
What we have to do now is to establish the gateway to happiness by removing all diseases from the human body. It is as simple as that.
He talked to me for 2 hours, and his compassion, his care, the care that he have for people, I never saw to anybody, the love for people. And I was so impressed. I was so impressed.
Hi, my name is Lori. This is my first symposium. I enjoyed it immensely. I'm also a student at the American School of Symptometry. I would encourage everybody to participate in either the six-month program or to study to become a symptometrist, because curing is proving. We're learning how. We want to spread the word. We need your help.
Symptometry is really...
Root Cause Radio, sharing the secrets of optimal health.
The collard green recipe is fantastic, and it calls for uncured turkey bacon. And I have never cooked collards for quite that long. I didn't know that it was good to cook greens for a long time because it breaks the molecular bonds, and the food, the oxalates become more digestible. And the recipe has you to cook the greens for about an hour and a quarter. And my family loves the greens.
Once the diseases are cured at the cellular level, we are able to prevent new diseases from occurring.
This message is for those people out there that they need hope and they need a resolution for their sickness. Symptometry is the solution.
Yes, this is a total health system. I have trained under other people, and they only gave me partial answers.
My family tends to suffer with plaque buildup on our teeth, and we have to go in regularly to fight off gingivitis. And it doesn't matter how much you floss, it seems it just doesn't help. But just by using the yogurt blend, when I just went into my doctor's visit, my dental visit last week, she was amazed by the results. I mean, it was great. The plaque buildup was just minimized significantly.
Once we have prevented new diseases from occurring, then mankind will have a chance to live in a disease-free body. This is what we all want. We all want to live in a disease-free body so that we will be happy all the time.
Go deep at the root cause of your sickness, of your disease. And Dr. Naughty is an awesome man.
My name is Michelle Mitchell, and I just love being here for symptometry. I got to actually meet Dr. Naughty, and just learning all the information that we learned today was really fulfilling, and I am definitely going to work towards becoming a student.
I would encourage anyone who would like to learn how to learn about solutions and not just live in a situation to come. Called symptometry. Come to a symposium, and guess what? You can be like I am, more enlightened, because the more I learn how to do that will support me, the better off I will become.
This was a very awakening moment. We're just enjoying ourselves and feel very enlightened by all the information that we received, and I'm looking forward to purchasing a few of the books so I can continue on the symptometry path.
What we have to do now is to establish the gateway to happiness by removing all diseases from the human body. It is as simple as that.
He talked to me for 2 hours, and his compassion, his care, the care that he have for people, I never saw to anybody, the love for people. And I was so impressed. I was so impressed.
Hi, my name is Lori. This is my first symposium. I enjoyed it immensely. I'm also a student at the American School of Symptometry. I would encourage everybody to participate in either the six-month program or to study to become a symptometrist, because curing is proving. We're learning how. We want to spread the word. We need your help.
Symptometry has really helped me with dental problems. Before, I would wake up and my teeth were starting to cross in front, and the more citrus I was eating, the worse it would get. So it's been able to stop that. I stopped having dental pain and the actual teeth itself, and bad breath went away. No bad breath.
And the best way to go about it is to go to the American School of Symptometry, where we teach cosmic or atomic science, where we teach cell nourishment, so that every cell and every tissue in the human body is well nourished.
But I'm so excited because we find help in symptometry, and we are grateful that we find this help, and I hope you'll call symptometry, and you're gonna find out that for anything that you have, there is a solution, and Dr. Naughty knows how to help you.
Hello, hello, welcome one and all to Root Cause Radio. Hello, my name is Angel Delight, and I'm your host this evening. I'm very happy to be here as your host, because this is the one and only show where we empower you, our listeners, with knowledge, solutions, and also share secrets of optimal health. Now, each week we have a different health topic that we like to focus on, and we also like to introduce our new listeners to symptometry, and also just allow our usual listeners who tune in every week to us to learn more about how symptometry can actually help solve and resolve different health issues. Now, today's topic is focusing on alcoholism. Overcoming alcoholism is one of the major challenges that society faces as a whole. And so tonight's topic is to focus on how symptometry helps individuals overcome symptometry, or overcome alcoholism, excuse me. So symptometry is for especially those who are just joining us or new to the podcast, you should keep in mind that symptometry is neither alternative medicine nor allopathic or drug medicine. However, symptometry is the most scientific, natural, and logical method for addressing all the needs of the cells, the genes, the DNA, the blood, and the lymphatic system. So by addressing all the needs of each cell, the cells that make up the human body are able to cure and prevent diseases. And so symptometry is the only discipline of applied therapeutic science that provides nothing but root cause treatment. So as we focus on alcoholism on today's show, we're going to also focus on the root cause treatment for alcoholism. All right. So again, welcome everyone to tonight's broadcast. I want to mention that on our website, you can find past shows, other useful information that you can download on our website, which is www.rootcauseradio.com. All right. So without much further ado, we have our guest on tonight's show. Our featured guest is Dr. Amsu L. He is a licensed symptometrist from North Carolina. And he's going to help us gain a better understanding of how to understand and overcome alcoholism and also how to achieve optimal health. You know, how symptometry root cause therapeutics uses scientific knowledge and natural FDA-approved products to help overcome this disease. Now, Dr. L has over 15 years of experience in acupuncture therapy, sports medicine, Chinese herbal medicine, and Asian body work. And so we are definitely excited and very pleased to have him here with us on our show today to shed some light on this topic. So welcome, Dr. L. Welcome to the show.
All right. Very good. Good to be back, Angel. And thank you so much for inviting me again.
Excellent. Excellent, Dr. L. So this topic we're putting our spotlight on today, which is alcoholism, is a very, I would say, sensitive topic. Okay, Dr. L. I say it's a sensitive topic because many people drink alcohol. However, not everyone, you know, suffers from alcoholism, right? So we want to be careful and I guess not painting a broad brush, you know, that everyone that drinks alcohol suffers from alcoholism. That's not the case at all. However, alcoholism is a major issue in our society because we know, I mean, there's statistics point to this, that there are many drunk drivers or, you know, fatal accidents as a result of drunk driving in our society. And a lot of that has to do with, you know, someone being suffering from, you know, alcoholism and not receiving the right treatment, or they don't even know that they're suffering from alcoholism. Maybe they're just in the early stages of, you know, alcohol abuse. So it's a topic that, you know, has far reaching implications for people of all ages, you know, both teenagers as well as, you know, the elderly. So I'm so glad we're focusing on this topic today. So, Dr. L, if you could maybe just help us maybe get started by understanding, is there a root cause? Before we even
before we even get to the root cause, okay, about the Lism, before we even go there, let's just look at alcohol just as it is on its own, because we have alcohol in wine and beer. You know, we have alcohol everywhere, and it seems glamorous, and it's the socially, you know, cool thing to do. So let's just start with alcohol. What is so bad about alcohol? After all, you drink a little bit, you feel good, you feel happier. You know, why is alcohol not so good for the body? Maybe just start there and shed some light on that.
This is an international, intercontinental issue, because alcohol has been around for millennia. You know, since humans have been around, including animals, there were fermented fruits that, you know, that fell on the ground that, you know, the elephant may pick up, or the gorilla in the forest, that when it would start to break down and decay, there would be some production of fermentation where, you know, they desired that taste and what the feeling that the biochemical feeling that came along with it. And when we look at even the history in the United States, going back to the 1920s, when there was prohibition and it was illegal to manufacture and store barrels or bottles or transport it. And this is where, here in North Carolina, where stock car racing has its origins, NASCAR, it started from people hauling alcohol over state lines or to different counties so that they could evade the authorities, because people have desired it and they wanted it. And of course, there's so much information out here about prohibition and how they would break the bottles, and people actually went to jail and prison and served time for it. But this is what happened. They would soup up their cars, make some modified changes so that they could outrun the police and sell the alcohol. So there seems to be a drive, because as you spoke of earlier, Angel, people like to drink it. They like the feeling that comes with it, because people become less inhibited and they say things that they may not have said once they start to drinking. And it's a major thing. We see celebrity, you know, dinners. There's always something associated with it, what they call adult beverages or spirits. And this is where we find ourselves. I just find it really, really the way in which that is done is that it's sold, yet there is always a penalty associated with it if it's not done right, and ultimately the penalty that the person suffers, particularly if they overengage in it. So I'm glad you actually have brought this topic to the forefront this week, because there are so many people who have had friends and family members, and maybe they themselves had a personal issue with the consumption of alcohol. And tonight we want to lend some light on the subject.
Thank you, Dr. L. Yes. So alcohol in and of itself, right, is not bad, okay? That's my understanding. Alcohol is in itself, it's not bad. However, how does alcohol fit into the scientific eating profile? Or does it? Can someone who's trying to be scientific, you know, to be eat scientifically healthy foods, can someone even consider including alcohol every now and then into their, you know, diet profile if they're trying to be optimally healthy? What do you say to that?
I don't want to be the the alcohol police or the consumption police on this call tonight. But, you know, there's always a possibility for someone to, you know, there's various degrees as to where a person wants to live and what they want to get accomplished. If a person is producing it themselves, if they're making homemade wine where they're not having added sulfites and other chemicals that are processed with the alcohol, then that would be a better option because it's homemade. And you know that it's properly prepared in a way where the person has control over the manufacturing practices. But when we leave it to other people, then we don't really know the situation. So a person, it just depends on what choices they want to make in their life. But if, as long as they don't have, and another thing, as long as they know how to use the reversal technique in neutralizing some of the effects of alcohol, then they could use it responsibly, as long as they don't overindulge in it, because it does deplete certain vitamins that we need. More specifically, the B vitamins.
Okay, so that's good to know. I mean, alcohol does deplete essential vitamins that you need, so you probably don't want to drink it too often. To gain optimal health. Yeah, no, that does make sense, Dr. L. So, Dr. L, what is exactly the root cause of alcoholism? Is it simply just drinking too much alcohol or not? What's the root cause? Could you maybe help us understand if there is a root cause and what it is?
Well, there are various degrees to this. But more specifically and direct is that we're dealing with heavy metals. Okay, the consumption, when you think about the times and how they're practiced, they produce them in these steel vats, and going back to, you know, copper containers and things where heat is applied, so there's going to be a burn off of heavy metals. And if someone would use glass, per se, they would not have those heavy metals, you know, thick glasses. If they could do it that way, it would be more, much better for them as opposed to the heavy metals exposure. Because, you know, heavy metals are the root cause. This is the root cause. Because they leach, the heavy metals do, the vital nutrients that we need, that our cells need. And these heavy metals, nature enzymes, like polymerase, which is responsible for DNA, for our DNA molecules. And what this does is it assembles the nucleotides, which are the building blocks of DNA. So it helps the DNA to replicate, so to lay down the links of replication. But these heavy metals can cause blockages, distortion, which in turn can affect the person because the person is not producing the proper brain essentials. So by this denaturing process of the heavy metals, they have lack of clarity and clear thinking. And obviously, you know, when we think of someone who drinks a lot or drinks often, they can have issues with decision making. And we've all heard of the angry drunk, where a person, once they start to drink, they seem to get angry and lash out at people, and this is the term we call the angry drunk. But also, depression could be a state that is induced because it affects the liver so heavily, and the liver has to filter that. And this is one of the main issues. By it affecting the brain, It blocks those communication pathways, and it disrupts the mood and behaviors that a person may have, and also their coordination, because many times people who have overindulged for years oftentimes exhibit coordination issues, where you see they have like a bobbing step or a dropping step when they move around.
Wow. Thank you. No, thank you for that, Dr. L. Now, excuse me, but some people who drink alcohol or are exposed to alcohol become alcoholics. You know, they end up abusing alcohol and they have a problem with it. So other people who also may drink the same amount of alcohol don't end up becoming alcoholics. You know, they don't have a problem with alcohol. So I guess my question is, why is that? Why is it that some people who are exposed to alcohol become alcoholics while others don't? Is it because that alcoholism is hereditary, I guess? Is would that be an explanation why that occurs?
Well, I wouldn't go as that far to say it is hereditary. However, the exposure that a person has, but then we cannot discount the genes, okay? Because as I stated before, if the parents or people down in the gene pool were drinkers, and there was some modification where the enzymes and the DNA, they're, you know, left with debris on them, and when the person inherits the genes from their gene pool, that gene can be active. And so when they start the process of drinking, this will make it much more difficult for them to shake it, whereas opposed to maybe someone in their own family can have one or two drinks. The other person just has a proclivity to drink and drink and drink. So a part of it is, you know, what they inherit in their gene pool. But another part of it is, what were they exposed to? Because nowadays, in the way that alcohol and cigarettes and other consumables are produced, they incorporate in the production ways in which to make the person crave it even more. Because obviously, with alcohol, there's lots of sugar. There's an abundance amount of sugar used in the production of it. So when a person has a sugar issue, an issue with glucose and hexose, then they end up craving the alcohol, just like someone who has any other disease. But as far as it being a hereditary issue, the person may inherit the gene, but don't actually, may not drink. Or if they drink, you know, they may end up with some type of issue related to alcohol. And many times we see this where one person in the family drinks and another doesn't. And it may be, it's because of the exposure, but also what that person inherited, which we necessarily don't know. You can't look at a person and say, well, they inherited the alcohol gene. But then I have seen families where they're not just one alcoholic, but two alcoholics or three alcoholics, and the father, the grandfather, the brother, all of them died from alcohol-related issues, whether it was cirrhosis of the liver or heart disease or issues with their pancreas, or cancer, just based on the overconsumption of alcohol.
Wow. Wow. Doug, I'm just listening to this, just really amazed, Dr. L, because, you know, alcoholism also seems to carry a stigma with it, even though a lot of people in society are aware that, you know, it occurs rather frequently. Still, if someone knows that, you know, their friend or a neighbor or a family member is suffering from alcoholism, it still has a negative stigma to it. So, you know, if there's, I guess, any anything, any word of advice maybe you could share about how to approach maybe a relative or someone that you know, and care about who might be suffering or struggling with alcoholism, because alcoholism comes in various forms. Sometimes it's very mild, you know, so someone might be a quote-unquote functioning alcoholic because they have a very mild case of alcoholism, whereas other individuals might have a more severe case of it and, you know, not be able to control it very well. And so they, you know, visibly struggle with that. So anyway, it overall, it carries a negative stigma with it. And how would you say someone could approach an individual who's struggling with alcoholism? What's maybe one or two ways that would be a helpful advice or suggestion, you know, to a caregiver or a caring relative or friend?
Well, you made an excellent point around a caregiver or a friend, but, you know, ultimately we speak of nurturance a lot, but it's really about encouraging the person, but looking at it to see what is behind it. You know, many times people have emotional scars or emotional things that can induce them into a certain form of behavior where they may feel like they've given up on life or they're at a low point and they need some form of relief just to kind of take all the edge off them so much. And what ends up happening, some people reach for alcohol. It's the most accessible mind-altering substance that we have in our society. It's sold in grocery stores, corner stores, and obviously you hear alcohol beverage control centers, and so it's accessible, and at the same time, it's like, okay, it's a part of our society. How many people have jobs because of it? And I don't think anytime soon that they're going to stop producing it. But as far as people are concerned, and approaching someone, there have been what they call interventions, where there may be a group intervention of counselors, of friends, to help a person see their blind spot. We in symptometry, we take an approach of to help them to balance out their sugar levels, but we also have to remove the heavy metals. Have to remove those heavy metals and help the person to move forward by making the right choices of eating scientifically. And with the molecular therapy that we include in our treatments as well, because they've been so depleted. As I said earlier, it depletes nutrients and it leaches the minerals, I mean the proper vitamins that we need from our blood, from our bones, and from our brains. And, you know, it's really difficult to talk to people who have a craving or an addiction to a substance without making it personal. And many times people take things personal, where it's not personal because from the outside looking in, we can assess someone. But for them, there is actually a physical dependency. So we have to take that step to talk to the person. It may be up in their face, blunt honesty, and then again, some people may need that tender touch on the back to help them move to a better place and ultimately to walk away from a substance that's just deteriorizing their health.
Thank you, Dr. L. I mean, those are really good recommendations. You know, you have to take it on a case-by-case basis on how to approach someone, right? Not one approach doesn't fit all. So
that's correct.
Yeah, that's right. You have to take look at the situation and the person's personality and kind of assess which approach might be more influential in getting them to consider taking a better path. So that is definitely worth taking into account when you're trying to reach out and help someone else that you care about. I want to mention to our listeners tonight that our podcasts here at Root Cause Radio are certainly informative. I mean, I always enjoy listening to them. So if you're hearing something that you find interesting or beneficial or useful, definitely feel free to share this podcast with a friend, a family member, someone you know and care about, and share this podcast for them to listen. In fact, Symptometry Root Cause Therapeutics currently has just a few scientists and licensed symptometrists that you can actually reach out and talk to by telephone for a private, no-cost, 15 to 20-minute consultation. That's right. So if you're listening to this podcast tonight and you know someone who could benefit from a free consultation with a licensed symptometrist, well, you're in luck. Pick up the phone and call, or have your friend, whoever you're concerned about, have them call, right? Because the free consultations are here for you to get that second opinion. Or maybe it's a third or fourth opinion, but it's a professional licensed symptometrist that you will talk to hear your concerns about your, health issue. And these topics we talk about every week are about different health issues. So if any one of them hits home, any one of them, is close and dear to your heart and you want to have a free consultation, definitely feel free to pick up the phone and call. All right. So you can reach Dr. Maxwell Narte by dialing 708-691-4977. Again, you can reach Dr. Maxwell Narte for a free, no-cost, 15-20-minute phone consultation by dialing 708-691-4977. And also, you can reach Dr. Amsu L., who happens to be our featured guest tonight. You can reach him by phone by calling 336-456-9183. Again, you can reach Dr. Amsu L. by calling 336-456-9183. All right. So, Dr. L., I just want to bring it back to something you had mentioned earlier, and that, symptometry takes a root cause treatment approach to treating various illnesses and diseases. How exactly does symptometry approach alcoholism or treating someone with alcoholism? Could you maybe shed some light on that?
Yeah, absolutely. And we always have to address it by addressing each person uniquely based upon the things that they have going on with them. But we use our ionization process with our particulates to help the person to remove the debris, the heavy metal that are blocking nutrient pathways, brain pathways, and help things to move out and to remove the concretion.
Yes, if I could just interrupt, I apologize. But please explain, especially for our new listeners, what ionization is and how that helps someone.
Well, ionization is a process by which there is within the cell, there's something called tight junctions, and this is how the cells communicate and are able to move the electricity and their way in which they communicate. But when there is debris there, when there's concretions, when there's heavy metals, there's a buildup, and this buildup stops that communication, so the production of essentials that the body needs won't be produced. So within the cell, on the outer part of the cell, there is a blockage, and that blockage has a charge, which is a negative charge and a positive charge, but it's stuck there. It's not moving. And the particulate that the person takes and puts under their tongue has positive and negative charges. And there's a reciprocal or inverted process where the positive attaches to the negative on the blockage and the negative attached to the positive on the blockage. And then there's this pulling action that happens that goes back and forth. Goes back and forth until there's a break or clear path that's made, and that will allow now for the nutrients, the blood, and things that need to get to the tissue that needs to be renewed to flowing again. So that is the basics of ionization. We want to remove the blockage, but it will take another charge, a positive charge, which is a polymer. And it's a positive charge that attaches to the negative charge that actually moves it out. And that is what we use. That's the process that we use when we incorporate a particulates in treatment.
Thank you.
Okay.
So, Dr. L, if I'm understanding this correctly, ionization is the main treatment that symptometry utilizes to help someone recover from alcoholism. So can someone still drink, you know, a beer or any source of alcohol while they're trying to recover from it? Or do they just have to just drop the alcohol drinking habit, you know, cold turkey on day one, you know? How?
Well, no, we won't necessarily. No, not at all. But these particulates have some interesting things that happen in the biochemical process that happens. If a person says they want to stop drinking and they come to symptometry for help, now that particulate will do something, and the person may end up with a headache or some type of indication to let them know. And we've seen this happen to people before who wanted to come to symptometry to help them with any type of addiction. But during that process, they go through those changes and they get better. But, you know, it may be a gradual process. It won't just be cold turkey, because some people have more difficult addictions than others. So their journey will be different. But if they desire to get well, then it's a gradual process. Some people will be able to stop immediately, whereas others may take a longer time. But in using the particulates and the molecules, their process will depend on how much support they get and how intent they are upon recovering and ridding themselves of that particular issue.
Well, yes, that's true. How intent is a person on actually, you know, overcoming, you know, alcoholism or their struggles with it? So that's a good point. The person must actually want to do it to be able to help follow through with it. So any words of encouragement or recommendations you can give, you know, as we prepare to close out tonight's show on the topic, any words of encouragement or advice you can give to anyone that's listening that, you know, is happening, maybe themselves, they have a, you know, problem with alcohol that they're struggling with, or maybe they know someone that they care about. Any advice maybe we can share before we close out the show tonight, Dr. L?
Yes, well, if it's creating an issue in their life and if there's a disruption, reach out to someone, reach out to symptometry. You have Dr. Nardi, you have myself, who you can get a free 15-minute consultation with. Also, if it's a family member, You can also give us a call to ask if what would be the what we would recommend that you would do in order to for the person to start their recovery process. It's a sensitive subject, as you said earlier, Angel, and you know it takes more than one way. Not all ways are straight ahead. Sometimes it will take other people to help encourage that person to bring them to the forefront so that they can deal with those inner turmoils that's going on with them. And, you know, we have a treatment protocol, a treatment program, scientific living, scientific eating that will support that process. But more so than anything, we have to make sure that the person is in the right mind. We don't want them being forced to do something. Because many times when the person is forced to do something, they have the whole resentment towards those people who are trying to encourage them. So ultimately it comes down to the individual and the way in which they want to live their life. And we support that in any way that we can. Using root cause therapeutics or our coaching program or just giving them the support that they need when they decide to make the turn for the better.
Excellent, Dr. L. Thank you. Thank you so much for being on the Root Cause radio show today. We deeply appreciate everything you've shared with us. Everything you said has been very useful and informative and helpful. So thank you for being on the show tonight. And to all our listeners, thank you for joining us on Root Cause Radio today. I'm certainly looking forward to next week's radio show topic, which is always informative, interesting, and definitely engaging. So be sure to tune in. Same time, same place, 8 p.m. Eastern and 7 p.m. Central, right here on Root Cause Radio every Wednesday. Here we empower you with the knowledge and share secrets of optimal health. Thank you again and good night.